Eddie Keneally is the man who is guiding Braidster through this 2016 campaign. Eddie, welcome to the program, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always a delight to catch up. All right, yes. You got to slay the giant here today. You have to turn into Alan Jerkins and be the giant killer this afternoon.
I guess historically this is where it happens sometimes at Saratoga. It is horse racing after all, and we've got a lot of respect for Karen's two horses, but you know, we're here, we're taking a shot, and our horse is doing well.
You know, we were at Churchill that night of the Stephen Foster, and he ran such a huge race that night. You look back on that performance for a minute.
Yeah, that was his second start of the year, and he had trained all along at Churchill through the spring and was doing really, really well, and we had thought about looking at the Stephen Foster, and we weren't sure we wanted to run in it, but as it turned out, we decided to take a shot because the horse was doing so well, and he ran lights out. He ran a huge race at a mile and an eighth, finally to win at the highest level, the grade one level. He'd won some grade twos, grade threes, but to win at the highest level was phenomenal, especially on our home track, Churchill Downs.
Well, you know, I lived in New Jersey for a couple years, and I became a huge Braidster fan, and the horse is just so game. I mean, he shows up every time. What's the key to keeping him so sharp?
You know, he just got a lot of time off last winter after Breeders' Cup, and he came back this year better than ever, I believe. He's just freshening him up at age six. He seems like he's better than ever. But, yeah, I mean, he's been consistent throughout his career, and especially consistent at Monmouth Park, where he's run seven times in seven stakes, and he's won four of them, and he's been second in the other three. So certainly Monmouth Park... we'd like to think that at some point there'll be maybe a Breeders' Cup or something at Monmouth because that's his track. But he's good right now, and I think he can take his game anywhere. Obviously, this is the toughest task so far this year. With Frosted in the race, he's certainly the leader of the handicap division on the East Coast. So this is the toughest spot we've put him in so far. But fingers crossed, get a good trip and see what happens.
Braidster is a horse with a lot of early speed, and you look at his past performances the last three races, he's gone wire to wire and wins in the Grade 2 Monmouth Cup, the Stephen Foster, and the Majestic Light Stakes the time before that. Frosted last time in the Whitney went out and set fractions of 46-2 for the half, 109-3 for six furlongs. How do you compete with a horse that's that quick when you bring in another speed horse like Braidster?
Yeah, that's going to be a rider's decision, I think. How do you compete with that? We certainly don't want to be head-and-head for the lead going in 109 because that's going up for Muktahid, I believe. I think it would be suicide to go head-and-head with Frosted in the early part of the race. We're just going to leave it up to my rider, Joe Bravo. He rides the horse with a lot of confidence. I'm just going to leave it up to him. I can't really tell him what to do. I think he's going to have to dictate what happens as the race unfolds. And depending on the break, we are in post four. We're outside of Frosted in the gate, and I think that might help us. But I'll just leave it to Joe and let him decide what to do as we go forward.
He's a horse that's always shown a lot of gameness, even when he's hooked by another horse. Those races with Valid at Monmouth were epic races. Those two had quite the rivalry going, and he got the best of Valid most of the time, but Valid's a really tough horse when he's on his game, and he looks him in the eye and just says, "You're not beating me today." It's a quality that you don't see in a lot of horses.
Well, he's a good horse. I mean, he shows up every time, which is great. And, I think we'll just see what happens today. But he loves the track here, too, even though he hadn't run here for several years. He's trained here now since in the middle of July. And he trained here last summer as well, even though he didn't run here. And he likes the track. So I'm actually looking forward to running him over this track. And it's possible that... He could run another big race today because he is coming into it as good as I've ever seen him.
I want to go back to something you mentioned a moment ago, Eddie, talking about rider Joe Bravo. You made the switch a few starts back to go to Joe. He's a perfect 3-for-3 in those last three outings aboard Braidster. Why is he such a good fit for this horse?
I think mainly because he rides the horse with confidence, and I think that's key. You know, Joe's a smart rider. He's a big money rider, and he gave him an unbelievable ride in the Stephen Foster, and he just believes in the horse, and I think you need that.
Tell me about the owner, Joseph Sutton, that relationship you have with him.
We've had horses for Joe Sutton for about 10 or 12 years, and he's been a great client, and he likes to play at the high level, and he's committed to trying to acquire quality horses going forward as well. And we bought quite a few two-year-olds this spring at the two-year-old in training sales, and he plans on going to the yearling sales this fall and buying some more. And we've had a good relationship together. We've had plenty of success too, so it's working. So we're delighted to have him on the team, and been a big supporter for a long time.
People always talk about Dwayne Lucas being the first guy on the track in the morning, but your horses always come out first set. They always look fantastic. Talk about your operation and your crew a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's all about the crew, really. I mean, you got to set it up to where you can try to get the best people you can and hold on to them. And we're fortunate. We've got a great crew here. As we do, we've got some horses at Churchill Downs as well. We've got a great crew back at home as well. And, I think that's the bottom line. You need to find quality people, and we've been fortunate we've been able to do that.
Visiting with trainer Eddie Keneally here on HRRN. He sends out Braidster in this afternoon's Woodward, and then comes back on Monday with a very talented two-year-old in Bitumen, who won the Grade 3 Sanford earlier in the meet here at Saratoga. What can you tell me about Bitumen?
He's great.
Eddie Keneally joining us on the network. That's the kind of insight you get here on the network.
No doubt about it.
There's some confidence, huh? That's good confidence.
No doubt about it. He's in great shape right now, and he's done really well since Sanford. He's found a new home here at Saratoga, been here all summer, and has trained very well over the track, and he's had a good break now since he ran, and he's a fresh horse again, and his weight is great, and I'm happy with him. I mean, he's coming into the race the horse is full of confidence, so it makes us feel confident as well.
Yeah, there's nothing like that when the two-year-olds have a smile on their face all the time. Who's your biggest competitor in that field, do you think?
Yeah, there's a couple of three or four actually nice horses in there. Gary Contessa's horse, the Midnight Loot Colt, is undefeated. He's 2-for-2. He looks like a very fast horse. You got to worry about him. Chad Brown has a horse that ran here on the beginning of the meet or 4 weeks ago, and looks like he was very professional first time out, and he won a pretty quick maiden race. That horse is one to worry about. And of course, Mark Cassie's Pioneer Denial Colt. He was very impressive winning the Bashford Manor at Churchill Downs. So in my mind, there it's a seven-horse field, but those are the three that we have to worry the most about, I believe. But it's not a big field, but I think there's some nice horses with lots of potential.
You have to feel pretty good moving forward, too. You look at his pedigree. He's by Mineshaft out of a Tail of the Cat mare, so as the distances get longer, shouldn't have many issues there either.
Well, yeah, we feel like longer is going to be better for this horse, and we think that at the end of the day, he's going to be a two-turn horse. And, we'd like to think that our year-end goal would be the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at two turns. And I think this is a nice step forward, 7/8 today. He's been running at 6, 7 furlongs today. I think that on Monday, that should suit him just fine. And I definitely think that stamina will be there'll be plenty of stamina, I believe, when we do ask him to go long.
Do you have a plan mapped out after this race? I know trainers don't like to think too far ahead, one race at a time, but do you have would he run again before the Breeders' Cup, or are you going to play it by ear?
We'll probably play it by ear, but I would think that we'll look at the Breeders' Futurity opening week at Keeneland. It's a 1/16 race. It'd be a nice to get him into a 1/16 race before Breeders' Cup. If he's well, if he's doing good, if he comes out of this race fine, I think that is a possible race for him before the Breeders' Cup.
You might be a busy man Breeders' Cup weekend, because we talk about Braidster, who is already qualified with that win in your in victory to the Breeders' Cup Classic in the Stephen Foster. Whether you go to the Foster or whether you go to the Classic or you go to the Dirt Mile, you're going to be a busy man.
Well, hopefully. I mean, that's the goal. We want to be busy that week. I mean, I'd rather be there than watching it at home on the couch. But, yeah, we want to be there. I mean, that's anybody that's training horses, they want to participate in the big events on the big days. So hopefully those two will get us there, and we just have to keep them together between now and then.
After you won the Stephen Foster, did it change your approach with Braidster in terms of getting him to the Breeders' Cup because you already had that win in your end under your belt?
Not really. I mean, we just ran him one time since the Stephen Foster, and we ran him in Mammoth Cup because it felt like the logical spot for him. Instead of the Whitney was a possible race for him, but we opted to go to Mammoth and run in the Mammoth Cup because he had won it the previous year, and we had already got the cushion of a grade 1-1 win in under his belt. So to go back to a grade 2 at Mammoth was a fine thing to do, and it worked out, and he won pretty impressively actually that day.
He should be a pretty good stallion down the road too with his speed and his gameness, don't you think?
I believe he will be. I think his credentials are now good enough to where he's going to get, when he does retire, he's going to get plenty of mares. And I think you know, it's a numbers game when these horses retire to stud as to how many mares they can get and how many foals they can get on the ground. But I think if he gets the numbers, he's such a good-looking horse as well as that with a nice pedigree. He has a lot of the qualities you look for in a young stallion.
Do you see him as being more of a classic or dirt mile type of horse, Eddie?
Well, the classic, they're both loaded races this year, so we'll just have to play it by ear. I mean, California Chrome and the Travers winner are going to be in the Classic as well as maybe Frosted, who knows. But they're both deep races this year, so we'll just play it by ear. The mile race is not going to be a walk in the park either. We'll just see how our horse is doing and see who's going in the other two races, and then we can decide at that point.
How impressive was that Travers win by Arrowgate?
Yeah, you don't see that very often. A young horse has never run in a stake before open up in the stretch after setting some fast for actions. You don't see that at all. So, and he beat some grade one winners, some accomplished horses, a couple of classic winners in there. Good field. The Travers this year was a great field of horses going in. You couldn't imagine any one horse winning it by 13 or 12 or whatever he won by, but he was visually impressive.
At that point, right? Pick any number, as Trevor would say.
Yeah, it was impressive, yes.
Eddie Keneally with us here on HRRN. Eddie, want to wish you all the best here today, all the best moving forward down the road to the Breeders' Cup, and we're going to look forward to visiting with you as we get closer to that day in November.
Thanks. Thanks so much, guys.